This is the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast on the 1st of July, 2024. I'm Andy Eubank. Thanks for joining us. Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller here with the news, too, along with Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin. A great start for the week today, but a wet holiday week is possible. The HAT podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Coming up in the news, property tax discussions before the next Indiana General Assembly and the impact of that hot June on this year's corn crop. On Friday, the USDA June 30th reports markets sold off after that. Brian Basting analyzes on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
Working to change the property tax formula for your farmland, and did the June heat impact harvest? I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today. As farm groups discuss priorities to take to the Indiana State House for the 2025 General Assembly, you can bet property taxes will be near the top of that list. The Indiana Department of Local Government Finance announced the base rate for farmland at $2,280 per acre for property taxes in 2025, a 20% increase from this year's $1,900. And the third straight year of big increases.
Farmers, I think, have kind of been hit exceptionally hard on property taxes this year. And the way they're figured, I mean, it's probably only going to get worse for the next so many years. Yeah, there definitely need to be some talks about what we can do to change the formulas on how things are calculated. But some of the increases just are not sustainable, and they won't be.
That's Joe Stoller, chair of the Indiana Soybean Alliance Membership and Policy Committee, who is a guest of mine on the latest Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, available now at HoosierAgToday.com. Stoller is joined on the podcast by Steve Howell, Senior Director of Industry Affairs for the Indiana Soybean Alliance. He says there will be a broad coalition of farm groups looking to get that property tax formula changed, and it'll take farmers stepping up to make it happen.
We need to hear stories from farmers. You know, what is that impact? I've got relationships with lawmakers, both at the state and federal level. I talk with them often. It's good to have that connection, but without a farmer's story, you know, it just doesn't mean as much. So we need to hear from farmers what's the impact of a particular policy issue. So what are the numbers? You know, how bad have you been hit with the increase in property tax?
We discuss statewide and national policy priorities like biofuels and the Farm Bill on the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, available now on your favorite podcast platform. I think we can all agree, for the most part, June was pretty stinking hot. But how much did that heat impact Indiana's corn? CJ Miller reports.
Some fields in Indiana are probably stressed enough during the current hot spell to impact the potential for kernel numbers prior to pollination.
And that's the corn guy, Bob Nielsen, who is professor emeritus of agronomy at Purdue. Nielsen says the recent heat stress could have a negative impact on the early development of Indiana's corn crops.
The combination of unusually warm temperatures for mid-June, moderately low humidities until recent days at least, both of which lead to high rates of soil evaporation and plant transpiration, brilliant sunlight, and either restricted root development or simply small root systems due to the fact that they're young plants. These kinds of combinations can cause severe stress on young plants.
He says this time of year, the recent hot spell could mean trouble for corn yields by limiting the maximum number of kernels. That is, if the soils in those cornfields are uncooperative.
Those fields would be those where early root development has been severely compromised to begin with, meaning fields with significant shallow soil compaction due to the wet spring and tillage that we experienced, or soils that simply don't allow for deep root development, for example, eroded hillsides.
Nielsen adds that it's still early in this ballgame, and there's still a long way to go with the growing season.
I began to see crops rolling a week ago on eroded slopes before we had the onset of 90-plus degree weather, so certainly there are fields that are experiencing stress now. We may see a reduction in ovule number, but again, depending on how well pollination and early grain fill proceeds, it may or may not have an effect on final kernel number at harvest.
Read more at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm C.J. Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmers' stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications. Many liners rivet or plug weld on top of the OEM, simply covering the wear. But Eile steel wear part liners are made with the best steel, are easy to install, and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
If you would like to begin or expand a conservation practice on your farm operation and earn some revenue as well, then you might want to enroll in the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. Tyler Rausch is Indiana's field program representative for the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund, and he says it improves the long-term resiliency of your farm operation.
We're working with growers to implement new conservation practices such as tillage reduction, cover crop implementation, or extended crop rotation. We're not only looking at the soil health benefits, but the farm benefits from reducing fertilizer rates and then the carbon sequestration process that we are implementing there from reducing the tillage, which is reducing the amount of diesel fuel that is burnt and then the carbon that is being sequestered in the soil.
Hear more about the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund in our next podcast. Check out their website, TheOutcomesFund.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. We've got a very pleasant start to the work week here. As beautiful as yesterday was, I think we're going to be seeing temperatures just a little bit higher today, but still low humidity, a very nice setup across all of the Hoosier State. Humidity values start to creep up tomorrow. We still see a lot of sunshine, and we are warm and humid for Wednesday. Sun followed by increasing clouds. I think we have to deal with some pop-up, scattered showers and thunderstorms at Wednesday late afternoon, evening, and into the overnight. That sets us up for a July 4th holiday that we'll be seeing showers and thunderstorms around pretty much all day long in some part of the state. We'll end up with 70 to 85% coverage on Independence Day itself. Lingering tail of moisture through Friday the 5th. So if we go from Wednesday late afternoon through Friday night, we can pencil in my opinion, half to 2 inches of rain across the entirety of the Hoosier State, 100% coverage. The weekend at this point looks okay. The 6th and 7th, I'm looking partly to mostly sunny skies, a little bit cooler, less humid. We again then move into the 8th on Monday, and we start with sunshine, but humidity values creep up, and we deal with hit-and-miss scattered shower and thunderstorm action for Monday afternoon and Tuesday. The 9th, I think we put together a mostly dry Wednesday the 10th time frame, but we're still seeing temperatures on the cooler side before a big push in heat comes to finish out the week. At this point, I think we're looking for temperature climbing to above normal temperature levels once we move through the Thursday, Friday, and Saturday time frame of next week. So buckle up. We're definitely warming up by mid-month and going to stay hot and humid, but mostly dry for the second half of July. Plenty of moisture here in the short term. But again, if we're going to get hot and dry, I think we'll take some moisture into our soil profile in the short term so that we can get through the later dry stuff in this month. That's the way things are stacking up. Have a great rest of your day. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
USDA report day and a sell-off in corn, soybeans, and wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Friday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank. This update brought to you by the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund, paying Indiana farmers to begin or expand on-farm conservation efforts with no limit on acres enrolled. Details at theoutcomesfund.com, theoutcomesfund.com. Markets all lower after the report on Friday. Numbers on the way. First analysis. I got that from Brian Basting, Advanced Trading at the end of trade. Brian, the markets go lower, and right away it was apparent this was a double whammy of a report from USDA at noon Eastern time on Friday. Both the stocks number and the acreage number negative to the corn market. Can we call it a bearish report for corn, for starters?
Well, as always, it's good visiting with you, Andy, and I think you put a good phrase on it, a double whammy for corn, because you start to look at the old crop first, and that number of nearly 5 billion bushels was about 125 million bushels above the average trade estimate. The implication there is that the March, April, May feeding, Andy, to livestock and poultry was below expectations, taking everything else at face value in terms of last fall's crop size. So not a good sign for demand. And then we start to look at 2024 here, and the USDA pegged acreage updated plantings of corn at 91.475 million, and that was compared to the average trade estimate of 90.4, so over a million acres above the average trade estimate. So yeah, it was a double whammy, and obviously the market is down hard earlier today and is holding those losses at the moment. So I guess for the moment, Andy, we have to take those numbers at face value. I think for new crop, there's still chapters to be written, as your listeners know. But from a risk management standpoint, what I'd emphasize, Andy, and underscore this as being the headline of the reports from a marketing perspective, is that we encourage producers to manage these lower prices. If they've got positions in place, strongly encourage, because trying to pick a bottom is historically dangerous from the standpoint of the market will always surprise you. So manage these markets lower if you've got risk management positions in place. And now we've got the next chapter to be written in this story, Andy, is pollination. And a subchapter of that, if you will, is what will be the final acreage number, particularly up in Minnesota, Iowa, and South Dakota, where we've had that catastrophic flooding. So, but for the time being, there's no other way to look at those two reports other than being negative for corn as we enter the key month of pollination for corn here in July.
Stocks all higher, June 1 stocks for corn, soybeans, and wheat. Acreage number was below the average estimate for soybeans, but the market did eventually fall lower just from pressure from corn and wheat?
Yeah, and I think you made a good point to begin with as stock numbers. I'd remind your listeners that we've gone through a period here the last 3 or 4 years where stocks, notably for corn and beans, have been tight historically, and that supported those high values that the producers have been able to receive going back to 2021, 21-22, 22-23, even in the early parts of last summer. But when you look at the carryout numbers now, Andy, projected for this crop year that will end in August, they're notably higher than a year ago, looking at I'd say over 2 billion bushel carryout now for corn compared to about 1.3 last year off the top of my head. And then looking at beans here, also looking at probably somewhere in that neighborhood of I would say 350 to 375 on the carryout for old crop, and last year's was 260. So the carryout for those crops, and now our projected carryout for wheat for this crop year, is growing. Well over 800, I think, now compared to, for example, 702 for the crop year we just finished. That's the underlying thing I'd remind your listeners about. We are growing stocks, and as simple as it sounds, when stocks are increasing, historically prices decline, and vice versa. When stocks are declining, prices increase. But we've moved into, at least for now, a stock building environment, and I think we have to acknowledge that and look for something that will change that environment. We'll be watching weather, needless to say, here in the U.S. closely. We'll be watching weather in China. We'll be watching weather in the Black Sea region. We'll be watching weather in Canada. All these areas are important. But when you, again, when you look at the stocks numbers for beans, we're looking at a stocks number for beans probably 100 to 125 million bushels above last year, Andy, for beans. And then when we look forward to 24-25, even with the lower acreage number today, if we assume a trend yield for beans, I could argue nearly another 100 million bushels on top of beans for 24-25. So the direction of the bean carryout is growing, albeit we haven't even begun to get into pod set or pod fill yet for this 2024 crop. But looking at beans, they did hold a little bit earlier, stronger than corn. But just looking down the road, even with that bit lower acreage number, stocks are building in the wrong direction from a producer standpoint in terms of where they've been the last couple of years.
Brian Basting, Advanced Trading. Brian's number 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, July corn ends the day down 16.5 cents, 397.25, so below the $4 mark. September, 15 cents lower, 407.5. And Dease, 13 down at 420.75. July beans, 11.50.5, dropping a penny and 3/4. November goes 0.75 cents lower, down to 11.04. And July wheat, 5.53.5, down 6.25. Meats mixed, August live cattle, 185.42, down $1.02, up $1.40 for the August lean hogs, 89.50. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.